Begin the current daf, Masechtas Becharis daf Chafek. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, where the Gemara had a discussion relating to the halacha of our previous Mishnah. Bisa ben HaMishulim said, regarding the topic of our Perek or Masechta, said when someone's slaughtering Bechar, although there's a prohibition, there's a lav of doing Geziza, of shearing the wool of a Bechar, of any Kachem, of a carbon, however, so that there shouldn't be a problem of Chalada, one can make space by moving away the hairs to the sides, and even though he's going to be pulling out hairs, that's not going to be a problem. Now, that the Gemara had a related question, what's the halacha on Yom Tov? Is one allowed to, do the slaughtering of an animal for Eichel Nefesh on Yom Tov? Is he allowed to also pull out the hairs on Yom Tov? So the Gemara says, what's the question? The question is, how do we understand Yerbisim and Mishlam's halacha? Is this halacha why he permits to pull out the hairs when he's going to slaughter the animal? Because Toilish, pulling out hairs, is not Geziza. So that's not a problem for Kachim, but in Yom Tov, that's not going to help, because in Yom Tov, you're not allowed to be Iker Dov Megiduli, you're not allowed to rip out something from where it's connected, and therefore it's still going to be prohibited. Or no, does Rabbi Yisim and Mishlam hold that Toilish is Geizes? So then why is it permitted to do that? It's because there's what's called a Dov Hashein Meskaven. He's not intending to do Geziza, he just wants to make space where to slaughter, and that's why it's permitted. Oh, and therefore then on Yom Tov also, where Dov Hashein Meskaven is Mutter, it would also be permitted. That was the question. So that the Gemara concluded, in the name of Rav, that on Yom Tov it's going to be permitted too. And the reason obviously being is because Rav held that the reason why it was permitted to do it for Bechayr was because it's Eina Meskaven. Yeah, Toilish is Geziza, but it's permitted because your intention is not to do shearing, you just want to go ahead and make space where to slaughter. So to on Yom Tov, although Talisha, for whatever source it is, it's being Eker Dov Megiduli would generally be prohibited, but since it's Eina Meskaven, it's going to be permitted. And that's where the Gemara continues and says, Umiyam Rav Hachi, did Rav really say this? That on Yom Tov it's permitted because it's a Davish Ein Miskaven? But Va'amar Rav Chia Barashi Mishmei de Rav, the following halacha said in the name of Rav. It says, Mesuchraya de Nezyasa. This is the spout of a barrel that they would have where they would keep their beverages, their beer, where by that spigot they would put some type of cloths to go ahead and block up the hole very well so that the beer shouldn't leak out of the spigot, out of the spout. So on that, Rav said, Asr lahaduka b'yamatava. On Yom Tov, you know, I'll go ahead and push in those cloths into the hole of the barrel forcefully so that you can block the beer from spilling out, because that's going to be a problem about schita, where the cloth is going to be absorbing some of the liquid and you're going to be squeezing out, and that's a prohibition about malabin. Now, although his intention is not to go ahead and do any schita, he just wants to block up the hole. You see that he holds davish and miskaven. It's aser. How could you say he holds that davish and miskaven is mutter to do on Yom Tov? Here you see he says it's prohibited. Says Gemara, no, that's not difficult. By he, I feel Reb Shimon might do. Regarding that case that Rav said regarding the cloths hole blocking up the hole where the spigot is in the barrel of the beer, even Reb Shimon, who he holds that it's permitted, even he would hold there it's forbidden. Because the Abaye Barav and Amar Tavaye, they both said that Moed Reb Shimon, meaning even the current Reb Shimon that he says in Masechta Shabbos Daf Malvan Beis, that Dov Hashein Miskaven is Mutter, which that's how we're saying Rav. We're saying Rav holds Dov Hashein Miskaven is Mutter, where there's a Machlekes Reb Shimon Reb Yehuda. Even Reb Shimon, who agrees that Dov Hashein Miskaven is Mutter, he agrees that in this case that we describe, let's say, of Rav would be forbidden, because B'psik Reishi V'lo Yomas, and what we call, you're going to cut off its head and it's not going to die, which that's a metaphor for the cutting off a chicken's head. You're not intending to kill it, but obviously if you're taking off its head, it's going to die. So to mean to say something that's inevitable, that's going to happen, that's not going to have the leniency of not intending. Oh, I didn't intend. You didn't intend? You're going to take off the head, it's not going to die? Meaning to say, here, since you're pushing in the cloth, obviously it's inevitable. It's not possible that you're not going to be squeezing out some of the liquids. That's why Rav says it's going to be aser, because even Reb Shimon says, Dovish Ein Miskaven is Mutter, as we're saying that that's what Rav holds too, that even he agrees that's going to be aser. But in contrast, when in the case that we're discussing, pulling the hairs to the sides, it's possible they're not going to be pulling out any hairs. And therefore, that would be a classic case of Dov Hashein Miskaven is Mutter. But when it's Psik Reishei, then of course it's going to be Aser, and that's why he said by the rags pushing it into the barrel, it's going to be Aser. But the Gemara still asks, but V'amar Rav Chia Barashi Amar Rav. It was said in the name of Rav that Rav said, Halacha Kreb Yehuda, Halacha Zekir Yehuda, which obviously Rav holds, that Dov Hashein Miskaven is Aser. That's Machlekes Tanoim. Reb Shimon, as we just said before, holds Dov Hashein Miskaven is Mutter. We said he agrees by Psik Reishe, but he holds Mutter. And Reb Yehuda holds this Aser. And here Rav's clearly telling us it's Aser. So how could we have said it from the previous stuff that he's explaining that it's permitted to go ahead and pull off the hairs on Yom Tov because it's not intended, but he holds like Reb Yehuda, holds Dov Hashein Miskaven is actually Aser. That's what Rav held, Rav Chanan Bar Ami Amar Shmuel, but Shmuel held Halacha Kreb Shimon. Now, Rav Chiya bar Avin Masni b'legarve, he learns this machlik as Rabbi Shmuel that we just said, without different individuals quoting Rabbi Shmuel, without Rav Chiya and Rav Chanan, but rather straight up, that it was Rav amalachik Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel amalachik Rabbi Shimon. But one thing we see is Rav's like Rabbi Yehuda, holds Zavash and Meskab Nezasser. So how could he have said that pulling out the hairs of an animal that you want to slaughter in Yomtu is going to be permitted, even though it's Zavash and Meskab, and that's us like Rabbi Yehuda? So Ella rather says the Gemara, you're right. La'olam savarav, truthfully, Rav holds Davashay Miskavan is also, like we just said, he holds like a Behuda, that it's forbidden. However, so then why does he say these halachas from the previous daf? Because of a toilish lav hanugaises, that was the other option that we had in our interpretation. The reason why Rav says the halachas like Rabbi Yisi in our Mishnah by Bechayr that's going to be permitted is because that's not sharing. That's not considered taking off the hair, which is biblically prohibited from a kachem, from a bechayr. And that's why you're allowed to pluck it out. Okay, but then we said if that's interpretation, then we said that the ramification of that is, okay, that will tell you why it's permitted, and that's why Rav says Allah is like a b'yis mishum from bechayr. But for yamtiv, even tailish, even if it's not geziza, it's being oikadav megidule, it should still be yasser. Why was it said in the name of Rav that it's permitted? That's because davale oikadav megidule kela achar yad. Because, yes, you're doing, so to speak, the biblical prohibition about uprooting something from its source, but you're not doing it in the biblically prohibited way, you're doing it in a backhanded way. Because it's not the norm to get the wool off by plucking out the hairs, rather to shear it, to use the tools to do it in a way that that's how wool is usually taken off. And since it's not the biblical prohibition, and therefore for the purposes of Eichel Nefesh of Yavtim, therefore it was permitted, that's the reason why, because it's simply not done in the biblically prohibited way. Now, that is the Gemara, but Taylor Shlav Hainu Geiz is okay. So that's what the Gemara is coming out, not like we had said in the previous stuff. The reason why it's permitted, according to Bezev and Meshulam, to do for the Bechayr is because plucking the hairs is not a problem, but Geziza. Therefore, you can pluck it out to make space where you want to do the slaughtering. Is that really so, that Taylor is not Geizes? But Vatan, you'll learn the Braisa. HaToylish Esakonav, someone is pulling out the feathers, which are these large feathers from the wing of a bird, and then the hakoytmei. Then after he plucked out the feather, then the way he processes it is that he clips off the top of that feather, and then the hamortei. Then if he goes and he smooths out the sides of that feather, which is he pulls off from the shaft, which is that tube that there is in the feather, he takes off the hairs on the side. Someone does this chayv sholosh chatois for this one feather that he's processing. He's liable for three karmel chatos. Now that's what the brisa says. Vamer shlokashi explained. Toilish, what's the prohibition about pulling out the feather? Is chayv mishum geizes, is because of the shearing. And this is what the Gemara's question is from. You see, talisha, just plucking something out, is considered shearing, which is one of the lamates malachas. Then kaitim, for clipping it, chayv mishum echatach, that's for cutting, which is a one of the lamates malachas of cutting to a specific measurement. And memarit, chayv mishum emachik, then taking off the hairs on the side, that's a violation of smoothing. Which again, these are the lamates malachas mentioned in Masechta Shabbos of Ayin Gimel Menalf, where mamachik is that of smoothing, which is what's done with taking off the small little hairs on the side of the feather. So you see that talisha is geziza. So the Gemara, no, shani kanav, a feather is different. The hainu urche, because that is the norm. How the feathers of a wing are taken off. There, you don't do shearing; you pluck out the feathers. So since that's a normative practice, that is the biblically prohibited way of geziza for the bird. But for an animal, that's what we said, that that's not the normative way, and therefore that's not prohibited, and that's why Rabbi Yisim and the Meshulam, the halacha is like him, like Rav said, because talisha for an animal is not going to be the violation of geziza. But now the Gemara continues and asks, so we had mentioned in the previous daf, right after we said the Mishnah, we said Rav says halacha is like Rabbi Yisim and the Meshulam. So the Gemara says, but the Rav savik Rabbi Yisim and the Meshulam, from the fact that Rav holds the Rabbi Yisi of our previous Mishnah regarding Bechayr, that as we just interpreted, that Talisha is not Geziza, by plucking it out, the reason why that's permitted is because that's not considered shearing. So then the inference is that Rabbi Yisi ben the Meshulam sublik Rav, that Rabbi Yisi ben Meshulam, that he holds like Rav, that as we just mentioned before, that he holds that Davashain Miskav in his Aser, that although something's not intended, but it's still going to be prohibited, like Rav holds, like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Stasi explains the proof of this is because if Rabbi Yisrael ben Meshulam would hold, like Rabbi Shimon, that Davashain Miskavin is mutter, something unintended is permitted, then we would Rav know that the halacha is like Rabbi Yisi, which as we had explained, that the reason is because Toilish is not considered geizes. Maybe this Rabbi Yisi permitted in our Mishnah was because, no, maybe Talisha is geziza. But it's davar shein miskaven, but you weren't intending to do geziza, your intending was just to make space for the shechita, and that's why it's mutter. Rather, it was obvious that Rav knew that Reb Yesi holds davar shein miskaven is aser, which is like Rav, and therefore must be that if he's permitting it, must be because Talisha is not geziza, as we had just explained before. That's what Rav was saying, that Allah is like Reb Yesi. However, if that's the case, that we're saying that obviously Reb Yesi Mishulam holds that davar shein miskaven is aser, on that the Gemara asks. So, Savar Bisham Mishulam Dovah Shein Miskaven Hazasa, does it really hold something that if you're not intending to do it, but if you're doing it, then it's still prohibited? But Vatan, you learned in the Braisa. Braisa is discussing the Paraduma, the red heifer, the cow that's totally red, that's then burnt, and then its ashes are mixed with water and sprayed on someone that became tummy from touching a mess. So, the halacha is that it has to be totally red, including its ears. Now, if there's two black ears, that invalidates the whole cow. Now, says the Braisa, let's say the Shtei Cyrus, there's two ears. Ikarin madam, their roots are red, but Vereshin Mashka, the tip of the hairs, are black. So Rabbi Yisim in the Mishulam Eimer, who he's the Tana that we're discussing, he says, you know what you could do? Guys is, you could cut the black tips of those hairs, but misparayim with scissors, and you could leave the hairs that are red on the bottom. And you don't have to be concerned that you're violating the Isser of doing Geziza, of shearing a kachem of a carb, of an animal that is sanctified, which generally is prohibited to do Geziza on kachem. Now, obviously you see that since his intention is not to do Geziza, although he's doing it, but since his intention is just to fix, to make this a viable paraduma, you see that it is permitted. Dovashin miskaven holds is mutanalik, we're explaining. Now, as we said, the reason is because the two black hairs were generally invalidate. But here in this case, where the roots are red and the tips are black, so you can fix it. So you see that it holds davar shein miskaven as mutter, not like we just said. Says Gemara, no, shani para. The para duma is different because it's a cow. The lav bas gizhi. It's not an animal that you do shearing because there's no wool on cows. You can make leather, you can pull up the skin, but therefore there's no prohibition about giza. So although this hears, but that's not considered shearing because that's not an animal that you do shearing to, that is only an animal like sheep that have wool, and therefore it's not a problem. But yeah, if there was, it would be giziza, then even if it's not his intention, it would be aser. On that as the Gemara, are you telling me that a cow doesn't have the isra of giza? But Vatanya learned the Braisa. The Braisa quotes a pasuk in Devarim that says, Leisavid b'vchor sherecha, and I'll do work with the firstborn of your ox, but Leisagiz b'chor tzenecha, and I'll do the shearing of the wool of the sheep, of the firstborn of your sheep. Which is the laws of b'chor, that you now do these two things of work and shearing the wool. Now says the Braisa, okay, ve'enli ila sher b'avoy, the b'tzoy megiza, from this pasuk alone, I would only know that you now work with the ox, and you now let us shear the wool of the sheep. How do I know to place this one on that one, and this one on that one? How do I know that you're not allowed to shear the cow and not to work with the sheep? It says with a vav, which adds on to the previous topic, to say that they're going to learn that one from the other, that not only is there giza by tzayin and avayda by shar, but that there's also avayda by tzayin and giza by shar. So you see that there is a cow with the prohibition of giza. So back to the question. So if there is, it sounds like he's saying that it's mutter because davar shein miskaven is mutter, which contradicts what we said before, that he holds like Rav, that davar shein miskaven is aser. So the Rebbe says the Gemara, no. The reason why here there's no problem about giza is not because davar shein miskaven is mutter. He holds like Rav, davar shein miskaven is aser. But shani para, not because it's a cow, but the para aduma is different, the kajay bedika bayisi, because it's considered that it has the sanctity of the temple upkeep, which is considered monetary sanctity. And the reason is because the paraduma is not sacrificed on the mizbeach. It's not kodshei haguf, and therefore it's permitted to go ahead and do giza with it, because that prohibition only applies to karbanis, to things like a bechor, which things that are sacrificed on the mizbeach. But here the paraduma is not sacrificed on the mizbeach. That is the Gemara, but Rebbe Elazar said, even if it's the temple upkeep sanctity, that there is also, if it's an animal, it's prohibited with shearing and working, so how does that help? So the Gemara, no, that's only midrabbanan, that's only rabbinically, but therefore that's not a problem. So ask the Gemara, but v'ikis midrabbanan, but there's still the rabbinic prohibition, so how does that help you? How does he go ahead and say, oh, you could cut the hairs, you're violating the rabbinic prohibition, how does that help to go fix so that you have a ready paraduma? Says the Gemara, and the Girsa takes out the word Ella, is no, Shani Par Dele Shchicha. The Paraduma is different, that there is not going to have the rabbinic prohibition, because since it's not so common, there was very few Paradumas in the whole history of man, And what's a well-known Talmudic dictum, milsa de l'shchicha l'gaza b'rabbanan. A rabbinic decree does not apply to uncommon cases. That it doesn't encompass. And since the paradum is not common, the rabbinic prohibition doesn't apply. And since it's a kachet b'digabayis, which is only rabbinically prohibited, therefore, and it doesn't have the rabbinic prohibition, that's why you're allowed to cut the tip of the hairs, but not because Davish and Meskavin. Davish and Meskavin holds like Rav is Aser, and here it's Mutter simply because there's no prohibition, because it doesn't have the rabbinic prohibition relating to Kajab Edigabais. But the Gemara says, why do we have to go through the rabbinic prohibition, even though we're not violating it, but why don't we do something simpler? Velechle, why don't you do Chilul, which is redemption, of the kachay bedik abayis, which you could do in all situations, not like a kachay aguf, which you have to wait till it develops a blemish, v'lifke l'chulun, and remove this paraduma, make it unconsecrated, v'ligizay, and now that it's chulun, now you could cut the hairs, because no problem, it's chulun, v'hadil kachay, now that you cut off the black tips, it's all back red again, and then re-sanctified, so then you won't have any problems at all. So says Gemara, no, that's not really sort of a viable option, because demay yukaran, paraduma is very expensive, and there's not always having that much money around to go ahead and deconsecrate the value of the paraduma onto monies, because they don't have that type of money around. Says Gemara, okay, but beloved, look at the Shmuel. Why don't you do like Shmuel said? Dama Shmuel, he said, even if you have hektish of a mana, if you have hektish, I mean, something that's worth a mana, a lot of money, shechila shava pruta, even if you deconsecrate it on something in the lowest denomination of a coin, mechul, it also is deconsecration. So even if a paraduma is worth $5,000, $10,000, who cares? So do it on the quarter, do it on the dollar, and then it's going to be deconsecrated, cut off the hairs, and then reconsecrated, and then it's back to be a paraduma. Says Gemara, no, Eimad HaMashmul, when the Shmul says halacha, is shechilalai, if someone had done that and deconsecrated. Like a tchila miyama, you think initially says that's not really appropriate to do, because one has to be machal and be paid to something according to its value, and therefore, since the money's not always available, so therefore the answer we gave before is really the best approach, which is, yeah, you can cut it because it doesn't have the rabbinic prohibition of kachay bedik abayis because it's a milsa l'shchicha. Or the Gemara says, now, ibayisim, if you want, you could say, to answer the question we originally asked, it said that, well, it seems to be, if Rav holds Rabbeisim Meshulam, Rabbeisim Meshulam would hold like him. On that, the Gemara says, ibayisim, if you want, you could say that actually, no, Rav Savala Rabbeisim Meshulam, like we said in the previous staff, he holds like him, as we had previously explained, that Toilish is not considered geizes, but Rabbeisim Meshulam, Moy Savala Karav, that doesn't necessarily mean that he holds like Rav. Yeah, maybe Rav was saying like his halacha, and Rav holds of his opinion that Dabish and Miskab and Nazasr, but actually Rabbeisim Meshulam might not hold like him. He might hold Toilish is not considered geizes, and he might hold Dabish and Miskab is mutter, and therefore that avoids the whole question that we had asked, that it sounds like he holds Dabish and Miskab is mutter. Maybe he actually holds his mutter, and he doesn't hold like Rav. Now the Gemara continues to explain this halacha, the Mishnah, that we said, okay, so you need to slaughter the Bechayr, you move the hairs to the side, and says the Mishnah, V'toylish ha-sasar, Rabbi Yisrael Meshulam said you could even pluck out the hairs so that you have room where to slaughter. Says, as long as you don't remove it from its place, leave it there on the animal, don't take out the hairs. Now, Amr Vashi, Amr Ish Lakashi qualifies this teaching. He says, Leishana el biyad. Now we only learned this halacha that you're allowed to pull out the hairs when it's done by hand. Of Bakliyasa, but it's done with a vessel, with a tool, so that definitely takes on a whole new level, and therefore that would be prohibited to do, again, in relation to this halacha of prohibition about either that appearance or with this halacha about giza, but taking the shearings of the Bechayr. Now, the problem with this, says the Gemara, but V'Katani, we learned in the Mishnah that it says, Eisem makam b'kaifetz mikan u'mikan. It says clearly that you can make room with the knife from this side and that side. You see, you're using a kli and it's not being done by hand. So how could Rish Lakish say it's only biyad? Says Gemara Tani, no, read the Mishnah, likhaifetz, meaning for the utility of the slaughtering knife, that's why you're pulling out the hairs. But you're not doing with the actual knife itself, because that would be bakli, which is usr, it's only biyad that it's permitted to be done. And again, like we said, there's the problem about the appearance of giza. Although it's permitted, like we said, toilet is not considered geizes. However, but one should leave it there in the animal. Now, moreover, the Mishnah continued, it says, to relate halacha, b'chein ha-toylish es-hasar liris mum. The same halacha applies, if someone's pulling out the hairs because he wants to show the blemish in the Bechayr to a chacham who then permits it to then be used by an individual not to be brought as a carbon, so he has to see it, so you have to move the hairs to the side. Here too, the halacha applies. Now, Ibai Lord, the following question. There's two halachas that were said in the Reisha, and the question is, what are we comparing when we say regarding the slaughtering of pulling out the hairs to showing the blemish? Is it likatchila? Is it regarding initially that when it says vechein, it's going on the pulling out the hears that we're telling you in the Mishnah, just like it's permitted to pull out the hears for the utility, for the purposes of slaughtering, where there was obvious in the first halacha of the Mishnah, that was initially saying that that's permitted to be done. So to over here is telling us you're allowed to pull out the hears to show the place of the blemish to the sage? A dieved. Or maybe it's going on the second half of the halacha after the fact. When it's saying, and so too, it's saying so too that you're not allowed to remove the hears that were pulled out, and it's saying that if someone pulled out the hears when he wanted to show the place of the blemish to the sage, okay, if it fell out, don't take it, leave it there in the place, but not that it's permitted initially to go ahead and pull out the hears to show the blemish, meaning for shechita we allow it, but maybe for showing the blemish, we don't. So Amar B'Yirmi says, Toshima, it's being arrived from the following Braisa, where the Braisa discusses, Tzemer ha-mesubich ba'ezen, if there's wool that's entangled in the ear of the animal, and in that ear, there was a blemish. And we want to show the sage, the chacham, that blemish. So Rabbi Yisrael Moimer, who he's the Tana of our Mishnah, he says, okay, tol shay umar es mumay. So you can pull it out, and you can show the blemish to the sage. So Shema Menor, look at Chilish, Shema Menor. Obviously, you see that he's saying that the Bechein is even on initially pulling out the ears, not only after the fact that don't take it out, that it's permitted to do the whole thing of as the Reisha, so doing the safe. Now Amr of Mari says, Afananam Tinin, he says, really, we also learned this in the Mishnah already. Because the Mishnah said, V'china toilish esasar liris mokamum. So too, the halacha applies, someone who pulls out the ears to see the place of the blemish. Now, my v'chein, like we were discussing, what does it mean, and so too? Now, ile mishaloi, and the gear says, shloi yizizenu, taking out the words esmokaymoi, if you think, as we had entertained to say, it's on the second half of the halacha, that, okay, with the ears that got pulled out, don't remove it from there, leave it in the animal. Now, hashta, but if that would be the case, so, if we found in the Reish of the Mishnah regarding slaughtering, where the slaughtering itself is already proving that you're not pulling out the hears for Giza, for shearing it, because we obviously see that you're slaughtering and that's why you pulled out the hears. And still we said, even then we're concerned that the Marasai and the appearance, what people might think, where it seems to be pretty clear that he's not doing it for that. So liris mokum mum mibayis, so when you're doing it to see the place of the blemish, would we have to tell you that you shouldn't take it out? There is not so clear. It might give the appearance that you're doing it for the shearings. Obviously, we would know that, then you wouldn't be able to remove it. So then why are we saying v'chein? Rather, must be going on the first half of the halacha of the initial permissibility about pulling out the ears. Obviously, yes, we can prove in the Mishnah itself that it's telling us that even one could initially pull out the ears, not only for shechita, but even to show the makam amum to a chacham. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme of the previous Mishnah regarding the prohibition that applies to a bechayr of geziza about shearing its wool. Now, our Mishnah discusses regarding the related halachas of the hear of the animal. When is it prohibited? When is it permitted? When we have run into rabbinic problems about what we might come to different problems if we let you use the hears, might run into the problem about actually shearing the wool, which is prohibited. So says the Mishnah as follows: Sar b'chayr balmum, the hear of a firstborn which is blemished. Shenashar, where the hear fell off, v'niach b'chaloin, so the hear fell off, they put it in by the window pane. And then the animal, so it's a b'chayr balmum, it's a blemished animal, it's not brought as a carbon, it's used for personal utility, which the b'chayr balmum, the animals cannot, the animal that's, you can't use it for shearing the wool or for working it. But once the animal is slaughtered, so then it's part of the slaughtered animal, you could use the hair as part of the animal. But here the hair fell off before it was slaughtered. But then the animal was slaughtered. So now what's halacha with that hair that fell off before it was slaughtered, but it was a blemished animal? But it was just on the window pane. So, Kavi ben Halal Mater. He says, permitted for the wool, for the kain who gets this b'chayr balmum, to have benefit from that here. Now, however, as we continue to mendei, the sages, they say it's prohibited. Why? If you permit the wool that fell off when the animal was still alive, what that might come to create is that they might hold on to the firstborn animal because, hey, the more it's alive, the more hair it grows, the more wool I could use. Now the problem with that is that might cause a takala, a stumbling block, because if you hold on to this b'chayr balmum, it's very limited. There's a lot of things you're not allowed to do with it. Shearing the wool, working with it. Now, psulim mekdashin, like a b'chayr which is blemished, It's prohibited to do gizin avayda with it, as the Gemara said in the first parak of Vavma Beis. It says tizbach, you're allowed to slaughter it, but v'loy gizin, I'll do shearing the wool. So therefore, the sages said, so therefore, we're going to say that whatever here fell off, even is also when it's still alive, is going to be prohibited because if we let you use it, you might come to leave it around for a long time, which might cause a stomach block. And therefore, they say it's prohibited. That's the Rabbi Yehuda. That's his interpretation of this machlokes akavi and the chacham. Now that Amalei Rabbi Yisus said to Rabbi Yehuda, Loi bezeh hitra akavi ben malal. No, this is not the case that akavi ben malal said that it's permitted from the here that had fell off when it was still alive. Which the Gemara is going to explain what is he saying. As we'll see, the totally of his statement seems to be illogical. Ella, rather no. Sar bal mum, same first part of the case. Yeah, it's the hero of a blemished bechor shenosha that fell off when it was still alive v'nicha bachloin, and he put it by the window. V'ache kach mace. Then the animal died, not the way Yehuda had said it, that the animal was slaughtered. No, the animal wasn't slaughtered, the animal died. This is the case. Bezeh kavet memal al mata. Here he permits that here that fell off before it died. Because when it died, obviously, that bechor has to be buried. The here is prohibited on the animal, and therefore, the animal is prohibited, the here is prohibited. But the here fell off before it died, that's what he says is permitted. But v'chacham ma'itzim, the sages say it's prohibited, but their machlekes was not regarding the case of when it was slaughtered. That's their machlekes in the interpretation of that machlekes. Now, continues the Mishnah, tzemer ha-meduldul b'b'char. These same halachas regarding the wool that's hanging from a firstborn animal, where it got detached from the skin, but it's still entangled with all the other wool, and it didn't fall off of the animal yet. So says the Mishnah as follows. Eshenira imagiza, that of that here that is seen with the fleece. Meaning, when you're going to finally slaughter the animal, and after it's slaughtered, you're going to shear the wool, which then it's permitted because it's part of the slaughtered animal. So then that wool which was hanging, but it seems equal with the rest of the fleece, which is the wool on the animal, and it doesn't look like it had separated before it was slaughtered. So then that's mutter, then it's going to be permitted, like all the other fleece, which is permitted after it's slaughtered. But v'she'ein niri imagiza, but that which doesn't seem together the same as all the rest of the fleece, because it actually sticking out more than the rest, and it's recognizable that it had separated from the shearing from the fleece before it was slaughtered. So then, nasser, then it's going to be prohibited, because then it's like as if it had fell out totally before it was slaughtered. Which, as Rashi points out, that this anonymous part of the rest of the sefer of the Mishnah is like Drabbana, who disagree with Akavi, and they hold that whatever fell out before it was slaughtered is prohibited, and therefore, here, even though he was tangled, but you could tell it already was a little bit before, it has that halacha, that shenasher when it was alive, and therefore it's still going to be prohibited. Now, the Gemara asks, regarding the opinion of Rabbi Yesi, he disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda in the interpretation. He says, no, loy bezehitra akavi b'malal. No, this is not the case. What you describe when it fell out when it was alive, and then it was slaughtered, then that ready pre-cut here is prohibited, is permitted. No. Now, the Gemara wonders, and this is what we alluded to, Mechlal de Aser. It sounds like that he holds that in that case, that's not what he said it's going to be permitted, but actually, if it was finally slaughtered, that it's going to be prohibited? Says the Gemara, how can you say that? Hash de b'meis, if in the case that Rabbi Yis is describing, when the animal finally dies, where actually, as we said, the wool that's attached to the animal when it dies is prohibited, because the dead b'chor has to be buried. And even so, you're telling me that the way Rabbi Yisi is qualifying the machlekes is that if it fell off and it was when the animal was still alive and it was placed in the window, that shari, that pre-cut here is permitted. So then shachatai. So then the way Rabbi Yehuda described the machlekes, when the animal is finally slaughtered, that wool which is attached to it is permitted. So may baya. Do I have to tell you that the here that was pre-placed in the window pane is going to be permitted according to Akavya? How could Rabbi Yisi say that paradoxically that then it's going to be prohibited? So Eli rather says the Gemara, no, this is what Rabbi Yisim was saying. When he was saying, Loi bezeh hitra akavya v'chacham oisrim, he was telling Rabbi Yehuda, this is not the case that akavya is coming to permit meaning and that the sages disagree and say it's prohibited. No, because he says to Rabbi Yehuda, shachata, the case you're describing when the animal is finally slaughtered, devei hakol shari, everyone says it's permitted, because since ultimately it's slaughtered, which is permitted, so then therefore even that which fell off beforehand is going to have that same permissibility. Keep a ligi b'meis. He says the machlekes is when it finally dies. When then that here is prohibited, then the sages say, okay, then even what fell off before and there's also going to be prohibited. That's where Akavi is saying, no, that's going to be permitted. But the case of shachle, everyone says it's going to be permitted. Now, up until this point, we had explained in the Mishnah, this machlekes is Akavi and the Chacham. Different opinions how to qualify their machlekes. Is it specifically only if they end up slaughtering the animal, or if it's even when the animal ends up dying. But the actual halacha itself is this machlekes regarding a kamen lechachamim, this here that fell off from the animal that was blemished before it died or was slaughtered, if that's permitted in benefit or not. Now, in that halacha, the Gemara now qualifies their machlekes. Amr b'asi amr shlakish. He says, machlekes, this machlekes between a kamen lechachamim, he says, is only b'shetiru mumcha. Is only if a mumcha, which that's the sage who is proficient in the laws of blemishes of a b'chayr, where he already permitted this firstborn, and he said that, okay, this is not a carbon anymore, it's something that is, has a blemish, it's permitted for regular, the kind to use for his own individual purposes. He had already permitted it before the wool, before the hair had fell out. Now, what's the machlekes? So he explains. The marasa, but the rabbanon held, still gezrinon. We have a rabbinic decree, we're concerned, that if we're going to permit the kohen to use the wool, to have benefit from it, that fell out before it died or was slaughtered, we're concerned, dilma asir l'shehuye, he might come to delay and not slaughter the animal, so that he could have more wool that's going to grow and fall out in the interim, until he actually does go ahead and slaughter it. Now the problem is, as we mentioned before, the longer you hold on to this animal, and you don't slaughter it, you might come to do things that are prohibited when it's alive, which is working with it when it's alive, or shearing its wool, which are both prohibited when it's alive. So therefore, even though it was already permitted by a sage, and this animal is going to be permitted for an individual's utility, and you could slaughter it and use it, but it's still forbidden the hair that fell out, because if we let you have it, then you might hold on to it longer, which might come to bring to sin. Now, whereas Umar Sava Barakavi held that, no, like Azrin, we don't make such a decree, because since the sage permitted, you could use it for your own purposes, you could go ahead and slaughter it now, so the person's not going to delay using it for his purposes. He can't work with it anyway. He'll go tonight, he's going to slaughter it, so if some hair happens to fall out, okay, he's not going to go ahead and hold on to it for a longer period of time. That's where they disagree, says Rish Lakish. Avalohi tira mumcha, but says Rish Lakish, but if a sage didn't permit it, then he says everyone would agree that it's going to be forbidden, the hair that fell out. And because now we're considering it as almost like an unblemished b'chayr, because no one ever said yet that it's blemished, although we see that it's a blemish, but for all practical purposes, it's not like a blemished animal to be able to use it and slaughter it tonight until a sage permits it. Now, regarding a tam, Akavi agrees, as the Gemara is going to say later on, if you say by an unblemished b'chayr, that the hair that fell out would be permitted, oh, then he's going to delay and he's not going to sacrifice it as a carbon. And that he really would like, because the longer he delays, that first of all, I might actually develop a blemish, and then he doesn't have to bring it as a carbon anymore. And moreover, is that if it's not blemished, so it wasn't permitted yet by a sage before the hair fell out, so then there's no tzad heter over here. Meaning to say, even if we're talking about a blemished one, so we're saying it's like a tam. Why? Because, like we said, for two reasons. Either because then he's going to delay it, like by the tam. Additional reason is because simply here, if the sage didn't permit it, so then there's no permissibility for it. So you can't say he's going to slaughter it tonight. And therefore, says Rish Lakish, just like we're going to say later on, as the halacha of a Mishnah, Akavi was only talking about that it's a b'chir ba'mum. But by tam he agrees. If the sage didn't permit it, for all practical purposes, it's just like a tam then. And then, just like tam, then we really run into the problem, Akavi agrees, of delaying it, so that you might not have to bring it as a carbon. Here too, this one, if the sage didn't permit it, then we run into the same problems as a tam, and he would agree the hair that fell out would be forbidden. Now, this halacha of Rish Lakish, the Gemara asks now, Moshe Rav Sheshes, he asks him the following braisa. The braisa says, Bali Mumin, if there is a blemished carbon, so Eisen Bekolshu, so it makes everything forbidden, even in a minute amount. Now, what the Gemara assumes right now, what that's talking about is, let's say this blemished carbon gets mixed in with 1,000 unblemished karbanas. Now, all the karbanas are forbidden to be brought in the Mizbeach, because one of them is forbidden, and since it's a distinct item, we don't say it's nullified. Now, you can't bring any of these animals as a carbon. Now, Rabbi Yisim, he says, Yivukar. You check it out. You inspect it. Now, Vavinba, we asked regarding this price, my Yivukar, what does Rabbi Yisim mean to say you inspect it? If you think that means to say, inspect which one has the blemish, and then take it away, and then you could sacrifice the rest of the animals. So, what the inference is, and that what the Tanakhama would disagree with Rabbi Yisi, why? If that's what he says to inspect and you're going to recognize which is the blemished one, so then what's the doubt? Why would the Tana come and disagree and say you cannot bring all the other animals as karbanos? So rather, Amar of Nachman Amar Rabbah Bar Avuha explained what we're talking about over here is not a blemished animal with unblemished karbanos. Hacha begizas b'chur ba'mumaskinan. What are we talking about when there's a blemished one that makes the whole mixture forbidden? We're talking about the shearings of the wool of a firstborn animal that is blemished, which fell out when the animal was still alive and was put into the window. Shenis arvu begizei chulin, which then got mixed into the shearings of other unconsecrated shearings of wool. And that's the machlekes. Uman tanakama, so who's the tanakama says that all the shearings are forbidden? It's Rabbi Yehudi. The Omar that he says in our Mishnah, that he says in the machlekes of Kavna Chacham, he says that even nishchatu, even if it ends up being slaughtered, Asri Rabbanan. The Rabbanan said that all the shearings, that even when the fellow was alive, that shearing is forbidden. So that shearing is forbidden, and these shearings are a distinct item too, also cannot be nullified, and therefore the whole mixture of shearings are forbidden. Rabbi Yasi Latameh, and Rabbi Yasi, who is disagreeing, he goes according to his reasoning in the Mishnah, the way he qualifies the Machlaikis, because we said it's a Machlaikis in the Mishnah, how to qualify the Machlaikis of the Chacham and Akavya. Dama that he says, no, Nishchatu Shar Rabbanan. If the animal is slaughtered, then the Rabbanan say that the shearings that fell when it was alive is permitted. Now, Uketana Yevukar. So what would the words of Rabbi Yasi in the Brayis? It says, you inspect. My Yevukar. What does it mean, inspect? Says the Gemara, Lav, isn't it saying, what are you inspecting? Imum kavua, imum oivrhu. You're going to check this animal that the shearings fell off from the Bechor Bal Mum. You're going to check, is it a permanent blemish? Then you could go ahead and slaughter it, and then, meaning when you're slaughtering it, check if it's a permanent blemish. Then that means to say that the shearings that came out of it, according to Rabbi Yasi, were permitted. Because he says if it ends up being slaughtered, those that fell off, it's only when it dies that's forbidden. But if it's slaughtered, it's permitted. Now, if it's a permanent blemish, which is then you could slaughter it, so then everything, now all the shearings are permitted because even that shearings is not forbidden. Now, that's difficult on Rish Lakish because you see, Avagaf, even though that at the time when the hair fell off, Shalahitir Mumcha was not permitted yet by the sage. And because that's what Rabbi Yasi is saying. Rabbi Yasi is saying, go ahead, now check, have a sage check, if it's a Mumkavu or not. That is a Yevukar, go check it out. But that means to say you're checking out now to see if you could slaughter it, and because when you slaughter it, it's going to be permitted. But that means to say that, but it fell out when it wasn't. Now, so you see that according to Rabbi Yasi, the way he holds according to Rabbanan, that it's going to be permitted when you're slaughtering it, and there's no difference between if a sage had permitted it beforehand or if a sage had not permitted beforehand. And because here he's saying that still Yevukah, you should check it out right now. That's not like Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish had said that if it fell out when it was a tam, which is not just even a tam, it means even if the sage didn't check it, he says everyone agreed forbidden. Here we see that's not true. Rabbi Yasi according to Rabban would say it's permitted. Now, moreover, as Rashi points out, from the Rabbanan's opinion, regarding the case of when it's slaughtered, that there's no difference if it was checked out by a sage or not, so then the extension is for the opinion of a Kavya too. Regarding that he holds even more that when it dies, there's no difference between when it was permitted by a sage or not, because a Kavya doesn't differentiate between when it dies or it's slaughtered. So here we have all the opinions that are saying that it's permitted when Rish Lakish said that no, everyone's going to agree that it's forbidden if it wasn't Hotu Yeral De Mumcha. So Amar Rabbi says, Loi, no, that's not what Rabbi Yasi means here in the Braisa. Yevukar ihitiru mumcha. What Yevukar means to say, don't check it out right now if it's blemished or not, because that's too late. If it fell out when it was not checked by a sage yet, that's considered like a tam. What it means to check, was it permitted by a sage before it fell out? Then in, yes, then it's permitted now when you slaughter it, and it's all the mixture is going to be permitted. V'loi, loi, but if not. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda held that no, there's no rectification of Shechit, and therefore he said it's going to be Asa. But according to Rabbi Yasi, you're right, it's still like Rish Lakish, it's had to have been checked beforehand. What he says, check, had a sage permitted it before it fell out. Now, Kisal Gravan, when Rav went up to Eretz Yisrael, so Amr L'Shmaitim said over this teaching of Rav Nachman, that he explained this Braisa, which was the crux of the question on Rish Lakish, by saying, what do we mean that it's mixed together? Oh, what is it, if it means the animal, so what does the mean that Yevukar checked the which one the blemish, then so why would the Tanakhama disagree? So he said a different interpretation that of Rav Nachman, which was the crux of asking this question to Rish Lakish, which is talking about the shearings of wool of a Bechor Bal Mum with regular shearings of wool. And he said over this teaching of Rav Nachman, Kamed Rabbi Yirmiyah. On that, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah said, "Bavloi tipshoi, foolish Babylonians. Mishum diyasvi ba'arda chashechem, since they sit in dark lands, which bubble is in the valley, so Amri shmaita de mechashchem, so they say dark teachings, which means not clear. Loish milahu, didn't they hear hada Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, that said, no, machlekes, you could say the machlekes in the Brais at the time they come in Rabbi Yisi, is that as the simple understanding of the Brais is talking about, they were literally talking about a blemished animal that's alive that gets mixed with other animals. So then we had asked, so how do we understand the machlekes time they come in Rabbi Yisi? It's Tomah b'shabadak v'loy matzah. Tomah that they checked and they couldn't find which one was the blemished animal that got mixed in with all the other unblemished karbanas. So what's the machlekes? So he says, the kemiflgi b'pluktad remei rabbanan. The machlekes is the same machlekes remei and rabbanan. That's not like the Mishnah Masechtas Nida. Shayu meyomer meyer said, kol davar shayu b'cheskes tomah. Anything that had a presumption of tomah. It retains its status of being tamei if they don't end up finding the grave that was lost in that whole field. Where exactly was that grave? So even though they checked the whole field, it retains its status as a tamei area until it becomes verified exactly where the tamei in that field is. See here also, since they don't end up finding which one is the blemished carbon from all those karbanas, they're all going to be aser. That is the tanakama of the brisa is like her mayor. Now Rabbi Yisi said Yavukar, what he holds is that no, it's enough. That even if you don't find where that prohibited element is, he holds like the Chachamim. Because the Chachamim, they say there is a resolution. Chayfer, you dig and you check. So you dig up the whole field until you either hit hard rock, which obviously from that rock and down there's no grave because it's too hard to have been dug over there. Or you come to the virgin soil where it's ground that's hard that was never worked on before. You know nothing was ever buried over here. And that's what he says. You check. If you check and you don't find, so then it's tar. So same thing over here, where if you check and you don't find, you went through everything and you don't find the blemish on the animal, so then, even though you don't end up finding which one's the blemish one, they could be brought as karbanas. That's one version. Now Rabasi Amar Rabbi Yechanan, he says a different version of this type of interpretation in the Braisa, again, different than like Rav Nachman had said it, that we're talking about live animals. But machlekes k'shabadik umatzah, he says the other way around. He says their machlekes is regarding when you checked and you did find the blemished animal. Now, the Tanakhama holds that they're all going to be forbidden because we're concerned that maybe the blemished one that he found is a different one that has a blemish. And you still have to check all the other ones to see if it has a blemish or not. Because maybe that's the other one that God had mixed in. Now, when Rabbi Yisi says yevuker, what he's saying is, it's sufficient of a checking from what you did in the beginning. Once you found this blemish one, you don't have any doubts anymore, and you don't have to check the rest of them. And it's the same achlekes as Rebbe Nimshim Gamliel. It's a time like Linda Brysa. Sadr Sha'avid Bokever. There's a field that a grave was lost in that field. So, Nichnas Betecha Tami. Someone that goes into that field is Tami. Now, Nimtza Betecha Kever. If let's say they find in that field a grave, so nichnas l'teicha, someone goes elsewhere in that field, he's going to be tar. Shani Yom, because I say, who kever sha'avad, who kever sha'nimtza, the grave that was lost, this is the one that we found, and therefore the rest of the field is not that grave, and is tar, that's Dibur Rebbe. Pshimim Lilam, he says, no, tibadik kalasadu kuli, you have to go ahead and inspect the whole field. It's not enough. So therefore, the Tanakhama is like Reb Shimon that says, it's going to be us until you check everything, and Reb Yisi who says, Yevuker, which is, no, if you check and you already find it, that's sufficient. That's like Rebbe, who says, yeah, if we find this one, that's the one that was lost, and this is the one that was found, and therefore that's the machlekes. So there's these two interpretations in the name of Rabbi Yechanan regarding this Bryce, again, not like Rav Nachman, that was the crux of that question, but rather it's talking about a different topic, that of animals getting mixed together. So the Gemara wonders, V'rabasi, my time will amak Reb Chiya bar Abba. Why didn't he say like Reb Chiya bar Abba, the first interpretation that's talking about that you didn't find it? And the question is, okay, now what's its status? Like we find that there is such a machlekes tanoim already. So Amalach, he would tell you that no. Bishle megabe tumah, it's not the same as that machlekes that we brought over there. Because we understand regarding the laws of tumah, in that case, we find the Rabbanan said, okay, so you check until you reach bedrock or until you reach the virgin soil, and that's sufficient. Because even if you don't end up finding that source of tumah, you could say, oh, Amer Ba'ir Vanatla. You say, okay, we checked everywhere, we don't find it, so what are you going to do? How are we going to say it's tar? You could say a raven came and took it, Ba'ach Vanatla, maybe a mouse came and took it. And therefore, fine, we checked, we didn't find it, so it's going to be tar. Because what happened to it? Maybe a raven took it. Elahacha, however, over here in the case that we're discussing over here, even the Rabbanan would say that it would be prohibited. Because Bamum Leichazel, where did that blemished animal go? In such a case, Rabbi Yisrael would not have said it's permitted if you don't find it, and therefore you can't say that that's their machlekes, as if Rabbi Yisrael would say it's permitted. You check it, and you don't find, so what? So how can you say it's permitted? It's obviously here somewhere. Now, but V'idach, Rabbi Chi Barab would tell you that no, Eimimum Oivu Hubitasi, yeah, you don't find it, but maybe, since you checked, it's sufficient, because maybe it was just a temporary blemish, and it got healed, and therefore you don't find it. But since you checked, and you checked everywhere, and therefore that actually would be enough, and therefore he says that could be that same machlekes tonight. Nothing more asked the other way. Why didn't they say like Rabasi? The second interpretation, there's someone when you find it, let's say in the beginning of checking, and the machlekes is that sufficient, or do you still have to check everything? Abnachim would tell you that no, because Bishlam is Sada, we understand the case of the field, that Rabbi Shimon said that even when you find the grave, he says you still have to check the whole field because maybe there's another grave, and this that you find is actually a different grave. That I could understand because Darcha Lemikvarba, because it's normative to bury in the field. So you could say, Kihecha the cover behind, just like this grave was buried over here. So cover in the Shacharin, this is someone else was buried somewhere else. So that's why I could understand he would say that it's not sufficient. But Ela Kajim, but regarding Kajim, when they're mixed together, Kivin the Bad Kulaba Kaimer, since you checked, and you already found somewhere in the beginning, in front of one of the first few ones, you found a blemish one. So Dachayu le Maple Behub Mumma, do you think it's normative for them to develop blemishes? No, in such a case, the Tanakama would not have said it's forbidden all the rest until you check them all, because if you find, this is obviously the one that was blemished. And therefore, that cannot be that machlekes tanaim. But V'idah Chavasi would tell you that no, agav de menakhi adadi, since animals, they gore each other, they bang each other, one and the other. So shchich b'humum, there could be blemishes, and therefore maybe the one you find is not that one, and since one had got mixed in, it could still be that machlekes, and they could still be like Rav Shimon, that the Tanakhama would be, that you would have to check the whole thing. And therefore, that's why they say the different interpretations. Now, the Gemara has another question, Meisvei, from a Braisa on Rish Lakish. The Braisa says, someone pulls off wool from an unblemished firstborn animal. So, and this is what we referenced before. He says, so even if it develops a blemish and it gets slaughtered, so us it's going to be forbidden. Now, so we said, time of the time. Reason is, and everyone agrees by the case of an unblemished animal, so that's why, if a fellow one was unblemished, even if it develops a blemish and it gets slaughtered, so okay, that here is forbidden, you're not going to be able to have benefit from it. But the inference is, but if it was blemished, it's permitted. Now, even though it's not telling us that it's permitted by a sage, it just sounds like it would be sufficient if it got blemished. Now, that's not like Rish Lakish, who Rish Lakish says that it has to be permitted by a sage. Now, this Bryce is obviously either Reb Yesi, who he says that according to Rabbanon, when it's slaughtered, it's permitted. Or you could say it's Akavya, who says that it's always going to be permitted. But one thing is, you see that even though it wasn't permitted by a sage, the sage didn't say that it's permitted, still the hair that fell off, once it was blemished, it's permitted. That's not like Rish Lakish. So the Gemara, no, Tana, the Tana of the Braisa, Kalhecha de Leitir Mumcha, and this is what we had referenced as this point earlier, if the sage didn't permit it, so Tam Karile, so he calls it unblemished. Now, although the words of the Braisa is that even though it subsequently develops a blemish, that sounds like, wait, no, it was really unblemished, not just like halachically. So now Rashi explains what the Gemara is answering is, no. Even if subsequently it's shown to a sage, and he says it's a permanent blemish, and then they go out and they slaughter it, even so, since, even though it was blemished, but it wasn't yet permitted by a sage, that's considered like tam, and therefore everyone's going to agree that that's going to be considered forbidden to have benefit from that here that fell off from before, but that doesn't contradict Rish Lakish, who says that same exact idea, that it has to have been at least hetir mumcha for that to be permissible, but if it wasn't hetir mumcha, everyone's going to agree, even the kavya, that here that fell off, even though it was blemished, it's going to be forbidden to have benefit, again, as we described it, because it doesn't have nitzat heter, and also that's going to be confused with this halacha of tam, which then it's asl shehu, you might come to delay going ahead and slaughtering it, and then running into the problems about working with it or being over on the Isra of Giziza.